Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we're about to get into this message this morning, Lord, it is my prayer, as I pray almost every week, that you would let your word penetrate deep into our being. Lord, there's way too many people in America today, they go to church, hear a message, and then forget about it before they're even out in the parking lot. Father, help us not just to hear this word, help us to apply these truths to our lives. We don't need any more lukewarm, lackadaisical Christians. We need some people that are going to get fired up about you, Lord, and carry out the work you've called us to. So with that in mind, Lord, I pray you do something good in here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's get down to business. Today we're going to be examining some events that took place during the life of the prophet Elijah. And you know, I love preaching the Word of God, but man, I really, really enjoy preaching from the Old Testament. There is so much great stuff there. The title of our message this morning is The Lord Will Provide. If you would like to follow along, and I do recommend that, our text, as you can see, is going to be 1 Kings 17, verses 1 through 6. Now, let me give you a little context on what was going on when Elijah, the prophet, appeared upon the scene. What was going on was this. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people, they had turned away from God and turned to idols and false gods. Now, when you're reading through your Bible, let me point something out to you that may help you. Almost without fail, anytime you see a prophet of God appear on the scene, it is to bring the word of God to the people of God who are in a state of spiritual decline. He's come to give them a warning. Now, Israel was certainly in a state of spiritual decline, and the major catalyst in this downward turn was the king of Israel. King Ahab, he was dragging down the whole nation. The Bible says that Ahab was the most wicked and evil king the nation of Israel ever had. If you want to know what kind of a man he was, we're given a little clue about that in chapter 16 of 1 Kings, verses 32 and 33. Listen to this. He set up an altar for Baal. Now, Baal was a false god. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he had built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole. Asherah was a false goddess. And he did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all the other kings of Israel before him. So, folks, what we got going on is a bunch of idolatry. Ahab the king has begun to worship Baal, and he has dragged the whole country of Israel along with him in that worship of Baal. And not only is he worshiping Baal, he's worshiping Baal's girlfriend, Asherah. According to tradition, Baal and Asherah were a couple, and they worked together to provide fertility for the land of Israel. So what you got here is God's chosen. Think about this. God's chosen people, he had appeared to this nation countless times, performed I don't even know how many miracles right before their very eyes. Now here they are turning their backs on the Lord and worshiping idols and false gods. Now you may hear that and go, man, those people were jacked up. I don't worship them kind of idols. No, you're right. We worship American idols. We worship the false gods of popularity, power, prestige, and possessions. See, when we look to those things to meet our needs instead of looking to God to meet our needs, we're worshiping those things. Do you realize that? Now, keep your hands down, but let me ask this question. How many idolaters we got in the house this morning? See, we're told here that the idolatry that this nation was committing, it provoked God to anger. God was ticked off. His own people had turned their backs on him. They're looking to these false gods and idols to provide for them instead of looking to him. So God says to Elijah, I want you to go and speak my words to King Ahab and to the rest of the nation as well. Elijah did exactly what God told him. Look at verse 1 in chapter 17. Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word. Elijah is saying, Ahab, listen up. God says the floodgates of heaven are closed. He's cutting off your water supply. Now, keep this in mind. This would mean really hard times in Israel. Because much like around here, in those days, Israel was largely an agricultural center. Now, if it don't rain, the crops don't grow. If the crops don't grow, you're going to get mighty hungry. No money, no food, no water. God was doing this to teach Ahab and the nation of Israel a valuable lesson that he alone is the great provider. And when he withholds what you need, you can pray to those false gods all you want. You're not going to get anything. God wanted the Israelites to realize they needed to get rid of those idols and start looking to him again for provision. So he said, I'm no longer going to provide the rain that you need. Let's see if Baal and Asherah can help you now. Now, let me give you an application before we move on. God wants you to worship him alone. And friend, if there's an idol in your life, I can promise you God is going to attack it. If you're looking to anything besides God to provide for you, don't be surprised when God comes along and shuts it down. He'll shut it down to let you know it's an idol, and you better get your attention focused back on him. Now, God removed his provision of rain from Israel, and then he spoke to Elijah again. Look at verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. God's telling Elijah, there's about to be a downturn in the economy, but I got you. There's about to be a major hit to the job market, but Elijah, I got you. The rest of these people are getting ready to get real thirsty and real hungry, but I got you. But look what he says. In order for me to have you and provide for you, you're going to have to get up and leave where you're at and go where I tell you to go. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone, Elijah. You're going to have to leave the environment that you're used to being in. But if you'll do what I tell you, I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to do it in two ways. When you get to the Kirith Ravine, there's going to be a brook of water there. Nobody knows about it. So in a dry season, you're going to drink fresh water from a private source that I have prepared for you alone. Because I'm separating you from everybody else. But not only, Elijah, am I going to provide for you naturally, I'm going to provide for you supernaturally. See, I've already contacted the Raven Catering Service. And twice a day, morning and evening, they're going to bring you bread and meat. That's called a sandwich. You're going to like them. They're good. And while everybody else is facing my judgment, you're going to have cool water to drink. You're going to have meat and bread to eat. And everything's going to be okay for you. What did Elijah do? Look at verses 5 and 6. So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Kirith Ravine east of the Jordan. He stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. and he drank from the brook. God is providing for his man. But who could have predicted this? I mean, how could have Elijah have ever thought God would meet his need in such a strange way? God promised he'd meet his needs, but did you notice this? He was only going to meet Elijah's needs if Elijah went where God told him to go. Now, what does that mean for you? Simply this. If you're living outside of God's will, friend, you're going to miss the ravens. Elijah had to go to Kirith first. Don't miss out on the supernatural provision that God wants to give you because you don't want to go where he says to go. Even right now, some of you may be in here saying, well, I know the opportunities around here, boy, they are drying up, but I don't want to go anywhere else. I've always lived here. My family lives here. All my kids and grandkids, everybody's here. I don't want to leave. I don't want to be isolated from everybody I know. Listen, if God is speaking to your heart and he's calling you to some isolated place, it is because that is where his provision is located for your current situation. He provided for Elijah. He'll provide for you too. But let's see what happened. Look at verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up. Uh-oh. Because there had been no rain in the land. Let me give you another spiritual nugget here. Just because God is providing for you today, don't mean you can't lose your job tomorrow. Sometimes things dry up. The economy dries up, income dries up, stock market goes down. In Elijah's case, it was the brook that dried up. Well, how come the brook dried up? The Bible tells us because it wasn't raining. And why wasn't it raining? Because Elijah told Ahab it wasn't going to rain for 3.5 years. So the reason it's not raining was because Elijah had a word from God to pronounce judgment on the land, but now the judgment he pronounced is having an effect on him. He's become the recipient of the judgment everybody else has already been experiencing. You know, when Elijah first pronounced this judgment on Israel, God provided for him naturally and supernaturally. But now he's being affected by the very judgment that he pronounced. See, even when you're living in God's will, sometimes things still dry up. Don't let anybody ever lie to you and tell you, just serve the Lord and everything is going to be perfect all the time. Serve the Lord, your bank account's never going to be drained. Serve the Lord, nothing's ever going to break down, so you got to take money out of the savings to spend on something you didn't think you were going to have to spend money. That's a lie. Elijah was living right in the middle of God's will, doing everything God told him to do, and things dried up. You know, some of you work the same job for years. Folks sitting in here right now, much like me, I worked the same place 15 years before they finally got bought out and started cutting jobs. Some of you worked at the same place for way longer than that. You heard about a big layoff coming, and maybe you thought, I belong to Jesus. I'm not going to get laid off. And what happened? Things dried up. You got laid off just like the unbelievers, didn't you? The same thing happened to you that happened to the people that don't pray, the people that don't go to church. The same thing that happened to the unbelievers happened to you just because things dried up, man. Move to verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Did you notice when this happened? When did the word of the Lord come? After things dried up. God had first called him and he said, look, I'm going to provide for you. I want you to go here. Here's where the brook is. Here's where the ravens are going to bring you your sandwiches every day. But then all of a sudden, it dried up and what was happening in society was affecting old Elijah. And now the word of the Lord comes to him again. Let me explain this to you. When God allows things to dry up in your life, it may very well be because he's moving you to a new place in order to provide for you. He's got a different plan. And because your job is not your source of provision, because your boss is not your source of provision, when they let you go, you just go back to your real source and you have him tell you where to go next so he can provide for you again. Ah, but you got to be close enough to God to hear the word. The word of the Lord came to Elijah because he was right in the middle of God's will, even though he was in a terribly dried up situation. Verse 9, God says, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. Now, look, if I'm Elijah, I got a problem with this. You guys know the southern states are often referred to as the Bible Belt. Well, Zarephath was the Baal Belt. It was the center of false god worship. No man of God would ever want to go there. God said, I want you to go to Zarephath because I've commanded a widow there to provide you with food. Now, if I'm Elijah, I got a problem with that too. How's this widow going to provide for me when she's more broke than I am? If you look through Scripture over and over again, you see how poor, especially in those days, widows and orphans were. They didn't have anything. So Elijah, if I'm him, I've got to be thinking, Lord, I don't have anything, and this widow's wishing she had what I had. Let me share another spiritual truth with you. This passage has got a bunch of them. God will sometimes test your faith by sending you to places you would prefer not to go. But how was this woman who couldn't even provide for herself, as we're about to see, how was she going to provide for Elijah? Look what God said. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. What Elijah do? Look at verses 10 and 11. So he went to Zarephath. This is one of the things I love, man, about old Elijah. This guy was obedient. When God told him to do something, he saluted and he went and did it, even when it didn't make a bit of sense. And in this case, it don't make any sense at all. We're told he came to the town gate and there was a widow gathering sticks. Elijah said, this got to be her. So he calls and he says, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And as she's going to get it, he says, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Now, even though it didn't make any sense for Elijah to go to this woman for help, he's operating on what God told him. He's operating on faith. And God told him, go see the widow. She's going to give you food. So he says, okay, well, I just asked her to give me water. God said she's going to give me something to drink and something to eat. So, excuse me, ma'am, while you're going to get me that water, would you also please bring me a piece of bread? Look what she says in verse 12. As surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little jug of oil, a little oil in a jug, rather. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Now, wait a minute. I'm confused. I don't know about any of you, but I'm confused. Didn't we just read that God said, I commanded this widow to feed you and take care of you? Doesn't sound like she's been commanded to me. He says, can I please have a drink? She says, hey, no problem. I can get you some water. You're a prophet. I'm going to hook you right up. But when he says, please bring me some bread also, she turns around and says, that's the trouble with you preachers. You're always wanting more. I don't have any bread. All I got's enough flour and oil to make a little bread cake for me and my little son. We're going to eat that, and then we're just going to sit around and die because we got nothing else. Now, if this woman has been commanded, she does not seem to be listening. Let's see what happened. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. He knew she was scared. She's got a little son. She's a woman all alone, no money, barely any food at all. And now she's got this prophet asking her to give him the little bit of food that she does have. Look what he says. Go home and do as you've said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. There goes the preacher again. Make one for me first, then you can go take care of your family. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But look at verse 14. Elijah says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So he gives her a promise from God. But think about this. This poor woman doesn't have nothing but a promise and one last meal. That's all she's got. The question is whether or not she's going to believe the preacher. Not because he's a preacher, but because he said, thus saith the Lord. He's given her a challenge. Now, what's the challenge? He's challenging her to put God first. He's challenging her faith. All this woman's got is a promise from a preacher and enough flour and oil for a little bit of bread. Elijah was sent there on a mission. He had a job to do. And his job was to get this woman to act in faith for her own benefit. My job as your pastor is to teach you the word of God and then challenge your faith by trying to encourage you to obey what the word of God says that I'm teaching you. See, until you act in faith, let me tell you something. The supernatural is never going to open up for you. Not until you act in faith. And this poor lady here, she had every reason not to believe. She's down to her last meal. She's broke. She's hungry. She's got a child who's hungry. And what Elijah said didn't make any sense. But because the word of God was delivered to her from a prophet of God, she now has a choice. Do I settle for my last meal and then die? Or do I believe the word of God? I got a question for you. Do you want to experience the supernatural? Or do you just want to live by what you can see and the little bit of flour you got in your hand? Let's find out what choice the woman made. Verses 15 and 16. She went away and did as Elijah told her. And there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now let me break this down for you. I want you to know the secret for your own provision. We start off like this. Elijah, I know things were good for a while here for you at the Kereth Brook. You've had food and you've had water, but now this place is dried up. So I want you to go over here to this pagan land where this old Gentile widow is, and she don't have much. But if you will inspire faith in her so she acts in faith to take care of you, I'm going to take care of her. Now, that might have been a little too fast. Let me explain this a little bit slower. God says, Elijah, look, go see this widow. Because both of you have the same need. You both need food, and without it, you're not going to make it. I want you to go and encourage this woman to have faith in me. And when she acts in faith, the result of that action is going to result in her providing for you and taking care of you. Then, as a result of her acting in faith, I am going to provide for her and make sure that her needs are met as well. Or, as Jesus says in Luke 6:38, listen to this. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Do you want to know the secret of receiving God's provision? Here it is. It is to become a provider for somebody who needs what you need. When you act by faith and you give somebody the very thing that you yourself are in need of, God will reward your faith by giving it back to you in greater measure. And you guys know I'm no prosperity preacher. This is not just about money. This is a far bigger principle. It pertains to prayer. It pertains to relationships. It pertains to even paying a visit to somebody who's sick or sad. If you're in need of encouragement, what you should do is reach out to somebody else who needs encouragement. And after you go encourage them, you act in faith to go encourage. God's going to send somebody to come encourage you. Or what you may find out is, hey, I'm in need of encouragement. I know this person needs to be encouraged, so I'm going to go encourage that. You may find out that the two of you end up encouraging one another. This is the supernatural circle of provision. See, it's not about, I want to say this again, this is not about money and tithes and offerings. It's about God working through you to benefit somebody else so he can then come back and give you the miracle you've been looking for. Now, Elijah encouraged this lady to move in faith. And you know, if between me and you and all of us, if we can get this church to move in faith, I don't mean sit around and talk about faith. I mean, if we can really get this church to move in faith, to act in faith, heaven will open up and God will blow your mind. The scriptures tell us that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, this widow had nothing, correct? But when she acted in faith, not only did she meet Elijah's need, but God met her need in such a fashion she could take care of Elijah and practically retire. She sure didn't have to worry about running out of food. So, here's another question. I got plenty of questions for you today. Here's another one. Who's the source of your provision? Who's your provider? If your answer is God, then you ought to be happy. You ought to have such an overwhelming sense of freedom right now, and let me tell you why. Because once you realize that God is your provider, that he is the sole source of your provision, you realize nobody owns you anymore. You got freedom. If you know God is your provider, your boss don't own you. The company you work for does not own you. They're not the source of your blessing. Now, they may be a resource that God is using to provide for you right now, but they're not the source of your provision. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, you know, that sounds a little too far out to me, Pastor. Anyways, what you're talking about is from the Old Testament, so that principle don't even pertain today. Okay. Let me leave you with this. Luke chapter 4, Jesus is talking. By the way, Luke's in the New Testament. Beginning at verse 24, Jesus has just been rejected by the people in his own hometown. They got no faith in him. Listen to what he says and listen to the illustration he uses. He starts off, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. Talking about himself. Then he says, I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years. And there was a severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. See what he just did here? This old widow has moved from the Old Testament with Elijah all the way to the New Testament. She's being talked about by a brand new prophet whose name was Jesus. And look at the illustration Jesus gives about people who have a lack of faith and versus ones who have faith. He says, let me reach all the way back to the Old Testament, to the time of Elijah. You know, there was a bad famine in those days, and there were widows all over Israel. But God didn't send Elijah to any of them. The widow that God sent Elijah to didn't even go to church. She was a Gentile. But because she was willing to act in faith, she was the only one that got the miracle. You get that? There were a lot of widows in Israel who could have received the miracle, but they were worshiping false gods and idols. But because this one foreign woman was willing to believe what the prophet said, she was blessed. And then Jesus says, and now one greater than Elijah is here. Now, with that in mind, let me close with one more question, and then we'll be done. Are you going to be that unique person that God supernaturally provides for? How many we got here today who are willing to trust him? You think about that as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the great provider. Lord, forgive us when we think we have security for the future, because we have investments or because we put a little money away or whatever we may have done. Lord, forgive us when we look to anyone or anything for provision beside you. Help us to understand, Lord, you are the one who provides. You're the one that can not only meet our every need, but Lord, you can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I pray even today, you would bless each and every family represented here, Lord, provide for their needs that they may glorify your name. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you. Would you please bow your heads for the benediction? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.